Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Wouldn't it be great if Scheffler just said, I'm not having this, I'm not being a party to this, I'm not playing while my opponent is getting this level of abuse.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 tonight. Wednesday night rugby coming your way from 8 o'clock. The return of Gerry Thornley to the studio coming your way at that time. On the football show after 9 o'clock, we're going to start looking ahead to Portugal versus the Republic of Ireland in Saturday's World Cup qualifier. Kevin Kilbane will join us on the line live from Canada. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch with us. Cameron Hill is in studio. Evening, Cameron.
Good evening, Owen.
News round coming in just a moment, but top of the sports agenda today is the departure of this guy.
We're in Ireland, aren't we? Right, well, listen. This is the last difficult thing you're ever going to do ever, right? So we've got no Bez, and we've got no Roetta, so we brought one of your locals up, right? He's there.
Yeah, well, once upon a time was a serious Robbie Williams fan.
Oh, really, yeah?
Yeah. Was in a Robbie Williams video once upon a time.
Oh, no way. Tell us more.
Younger man.
It's the video to which song again?
Strong.
Strong. The official video to Strong.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Alexander Arnold whips it in. Alisson scores! Unbelievable! The goalkeeper has scored in the 94th minute! You've never seen Alisson like it! Alisson for Liverpool to keep alive!
I won't be doing any moaning today then, just to keep the YouTubers happy. I've been beaten down by social media.
Nathan saved the day from County Mayo.
So I have a football mad 7-year-old. His birthday is coming up. For every birthday, he wants a jersey. I want an England jersey. Oof. Is it worth the hassle? I don't really have an issue with this. I'm struggling to explain to him. Obviously went with the 800 years of oppression and all that. He made the point, what's it got to do with Jack Grealish? Which is, well, that's another complication that you may have here.
We're walking down the ninth fairway at the K Club, Tuesday of the Irish Open. Sun is shining and Grand Slam winner Rory McIlroy is with us. I know it's 6 months on, but I still like being saying, well done.
Thank you. I like hearing it too. So thank you.
Delighted to be joined on the line by the Open champion, Shane Lowry. How are you keeping, Shane?
I'm good, thanks, yeah.
Your wife's waiting for you. The reason I was annoying you was you don't understand. Our golf podcast has been accused of being a Jordan Spieth fan club in Ireland. And they're meeting tomorrow up in Killian Castle. Can you give them a big hello?
Yeah,
and say
sure. Thank you very much. That's incredible. Thanks for the support.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jordan.
You got it.
So you're defending John. You know John well?
John has done some work with us, yeah.
Have you? I bet he has, yeah.
What did you say? You talk about that Bosnia night. John Walters was the one who scored the goals.
Well, yeah. How many years ago was that? Will you be seeing John soon?
I've no idea. Probably not now, I suspect.
Time to talk to John Giles. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
You're keeping well?
I'm good, thank you.
John Giles is with us on the line. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
Really wore their hair in their knees and they've done it.
History. History is made by the Republic of Ireland. They are going to the World Cup finals. We're going to Australia. Surely.
No, there's no surely.
Screw you, accountants. You can't stop us now.
Go on, Nathan. Go on, Nathan. That's the man. The man with the best plan.
And of course, as he moves into a boardroom job, he would like to reverse what he said about all accountants in this building. Nathan Murphy, a very good evening to you. This is your last live show in studio with us. How are you feeling?
I'm not sure how I'm feeling right now after that. Bloody hell.
Quite a lot in there.
Forgot about Jordan Spieth.
Mm.
Jordan Spieth couldn't get away from me quick enough. I basically cornered him down at Adair Manor that he simply had no choice but to talk to me. And it's about 6 minutes long. And if you're watching the video, you can see him just inch by inch moving further away from me, which is fair enough.
Yeah, you couldn't quite tell the terror in his face with just that audio. We're going to bring you a selection of some of your favourite voices over the course of the next half an hour, maybe an hour. We'll see how many we have on standby. The first man is the tyrant, as he's known on the Crappy Quiz, Ger Gilroy. Very good evening to you.
Oh, wow. Oh, look at this.
Oh, how are you, lads? Nathan's becoming officially a pen pusher. He's given up his right to travel to all the world's great sporting cathedrals and has decided that he'd rather, you know, become an Excel jockey. I don't know what's going on in his life.
At the national station of the year, I think you'll find Ger.
Easy come, easy go, buddy. You're joining them at literally the worst time. They've been like riding high in the general hours. You're supposed to get it when they're on the very bottom. You're like maybe you're like David Moyes in this scenario, are you?
What I would have really liked for my final day was one true leaderboard of all the crappy quizzes of the last 10 years.
That would have been a good idea. That would have been a very good idea, in fact.
Where I'd finish.
So you can see
top.
How much Arthur was ahead of you?
No. The last 18 months doesn't count. Arthur had it too simple.
Yeah, no, he definitely ran away with it in the last little while. We're going to have Kevin Kilbane on with us a little later on, and maybe, Nathan, you'll be able to tell us about actually poaching Kevin Kilbane back in 2016. How did you poach Nathan Murphy back in, whatever, 2013, Ger?
Oh, well, I told this story in the office a little bit earlier on, and the very first time I ever met Nathan properly was, I think, whenever the Irish Open was on in Killarney. Nathan spent the weekend drinking and shouting at me about how Mayo were a superior football outfit to Kildare. And I was like, oh, this guy, yeah, he's got strong opinions. A lot of energy. He was also bragging about how superior today FM were to News Talk. I don't know if everybody, like, this is very inside baseball, but they're like on the fourth floor and we're on the third floor. And there was a period where they had a fancy coffee machine and we weren't supposed to be allowed to use their coffee machine, which obviously, you know, we would just walk up and use the coffee machine. And if anybody was going to stop us, it would have been a bit of a fight. Nathan would also brag about like how the Today FM Christmas parties were absolutely epic. So I look forward to my invite to next year's Christmas party where he's told the accountant, screw you, buddy.
Without going too inside baseball, my first Christmas party in Newstalk was upstairs in the Donoghue's pub, and the bar shut at 11 o'clock, and all my former colleagues in Today FM were texting me from the Powers Court Hotel. So I think it was right to be bitter.
There you go. So that was how it started, and then second captain's left, and straight away into my DMs, there's Nathan Murphy going, hey.
Didn't happen. The timelines don't stack up here, Jared. The timelines don't stack up. Didn't happen.
Is that not what happened? Somebody like, left.
You need a lad from the country with a Murphy surname.
This is like Katie's hater sliding into Eddie Hearn's DMs. Please represent
basically,
me.
Basically, yeah. So I'm a sleazy white boy from London, and he's a world champion, God-fearing. Yeah, fair enough.
What was, in your opinion, Ger, the highlight of Nathan Murphy's time here?
Is this a bit where I'm supposed to be serious and tell you the truth, or
do what you want with it.
It's gone from the stage. I thought the montage was nice and enough, and now I'm sort of into the, well, you know, this won't be winning any awards next year, this hour of radio.
Occasionally you get a phone call and you're like, were you listening? I was like, no. And it would always be good, because it's probably better you didn't hear this live. And there'd be various incidents where maybe a line was left up and people were conversing, not knowing they were on air, or the full live version with all the swears would go out unedited on the radio from time to time. And Nathan would have to ring and break this news to you, and you'd be like, all right, it's okay. But I knew he would be able to fix it somehow by just smiling his way through whatever complaints were coming from the then station boss, Patricia Monaghan. Nathan always had the executives on his side, if you ever noticed that. It's like, and now here he is reaping rewards of that.
He's a nice person. Try it sometime.
It sounds like 12 years of an inside agent job here downstairs, where you finally got back with all the information and all the things that you learned.
Exactly. Yeah. It was the long, very long play he was playing. Honestly, all joking aside, when Nathan's commentating, you can feel the atmosphere crackle. And it's like radio has texture if it's done properly. There's like a depth and a timbre to the noise. Like the waves kind of go through you like you can literally feel the vibrations when the sound is good. And there's very few people who can capture the essence of a football match in particular the way that Nathan does. Those big games, that late Alisson winner all those years ago on the way for Liverpool to win the league, that's etched in my memory. But the thing is, he was doing that week in, week out, even when it wasn't those absolutely massive games. We'd have some terrible games on a Sunday when the European season wasn't in and it would be two mid-tier teams, but he's always able to inject something into it that you think, Jesus, I'm actually going to listen to this. I'm going to sit in the car and listen to the end of this, even though it could have been, I don't know if we ever did Bradford and Hull, but we definitely had some turkeys over the years on a Sunday afternoon. And I would say the other thing is that he always got better year on year on year. The work was done. The knowledge of who the influx of new players were, either from youth teams or from far-flung leagues all around the world, that just came through without it being showy, without it being, you know, look at all the work that I've done. I've made all these notes and I'm going to refer to the fact that I made all the notes and did all the work. It was just at his fingertips because he did the work and it was never ostentatious. So for me, that was always the bit where it's like, this guy's continuously getting better. And to be honest, that just drives standards for everybody right across the building. And I think you've probably learned that you can't come into this place and just coast. You can't be mediocre because people like Nathan drive the standards and get better and hoover up all the awards.
Beautifully said. Chair Gilroy, thank you very much.
Chair. I'll miss you guys.
You're very welcome. Enjoy.
We have more voices to come very shortly. The news round is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. We're going to do, I think, story tribute as the evening goes on. Cameron, so where are we starting in terms of the news round tonight?
Yeah, in other news tonight, Owen, yeah. Republic of Ireland assistant coach John O'Shea says they're hopeful Troy Parrott can feature in the upcoming World Cup qualifiers against Portugal and Armenia. The striker, of course, missed last month's window after picking up an injury in training with his club, AZ Alkmaar. He took part in training in Abbottstown today, as did fellow attacker Evan Ferguson. O'Shea says they won't make a decision on his availability for Saturday's game in Lisbon until late on, admitting they're unsure whether he'll be ready in time for the game.
There's every chance, but you also have to respect the kind of injury he's had, you know. So we look after the player first and foremost, and hopefully then we can make that decision closer to kickoff. But what we're seeing is very positive, you know. It's everything, the strength and the power and the speed that he has is good to see. So he's obviously, like Troy has been doing the last few years, he's been, I suppose, leading. He's doing everything right on and off the pitch to be the best professional he can, and that's led to him possibly getting back that bit quicker from an injury that could have kept him out for longer too. So brilliant to see, and obviously he was getting the rewards before before the injury too. So as I said, listen, the type of character he is in the group as well, and anyone that has that kind of attacking talent is going to be very important for us.
You are off to Portugal as your swan song.
Always taking one for the team, I think.
Thank you. I don't know what we're
just had a look. 28 degrees in Lisbon. Should we be worried about the heat on Saturday night?
I wish you could have gone off in better terms. Are you going to be watching Troy Parrott from the start on Saturday, do you reckon?
No, I don't think so. Because Tuesday is still massively important. There's a understandable doom and gloom surrounding Ireland right now, but it's not miracle needing just yet because of the way the group is set up. And if we beat Armenia, there's every chance that we'll go to Budapest with a chance still of qualifying, and that will depend on goal difference. So I think we want to keep it as tight as possible on Saturday night, obviously try and get a result, but, you know, do not have a humiliation. And then we need to make sure we beat Armenia. So I think Troy Parrott, I wouldn't be surprised if he was to start in against Armenia on Tuesday night, but it was a 24-man squad. He was number 24, a couple of injuries, one replacement. So now he's in the 23. He's going to be on the bench. Maybe they feel they give him 15 minutes and then start him on Tuesday. But no, I think it'll be Evan Ferguson and probably a very defensive-minded team.
The reflex here is that Ireland have been okay in recent years against very good teams. Like you think about...
Under Mike, Stephen Kenny.
Like you think about Mike Maignan's save against France. You think about the near miss in Farrow. But then you're like, actually, the most recent game we have against a superpower is the England game where Ireland got hammered.
In the second half, when we had a player sent off and it all just disintegrated and probably raises greater questions around the mentality of this team as to how it all fell apart and how quickly it did. I'd also be worried about the 2-0 against England, where we barely touched the ball and Jack Grealish looked like, you know, Ronaldo and Messi all rolled into one. So, yeah, I think Stephen Kenny's era was marked by really good performances, but not the results against the best teams. We have a small sample size under Hal Grimson, and it's, yeah, it's not pretty.
Let's bring in our second voice this evening. Not pretty is certainly one thing you could not accuse this person of. The very handsome Adrian Barry coming in. Adrian, how are you doing?
Adrian's come on now. He's out. Oh, I'm just doing my charity work and my volunteer work. Helping the kids in Croke. Oh, he's got the Croke's top on. He's got the Croke's top on.
Against the dying light.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was actually just stood outside gym here at, because as Nathan would know, we're very short on facilities. So we're out at a third party own. You'll understand yourself how, you know, clubs have to manage these things, and the gym has just turned the music on there, so I've had to wander around the corner. Anyway, I thought I was listening to like a clip from 10 years ago of like reminiscing about Nathan giving out about the state of Irish football until I realised this was actually a live conversation.
It's been a circular conversation. Finally, it has worn thin for him. I mean, it's up to you here, Adrian. There are, I'm sure, a plethora of different Nathan Murphy stories that you'd like to bring to the airwaves for the very first time on his very last day. What would you like to hit us with?
Do you mind if I compliment him to begin with?
Of course.
That'd be all right. Like, I think a lot of people won't be aware. We had a little bit of a speech in the office, and I actively earlier on sort of chose not to get involved because I was just genuinely concerned that the emotions might get the better of me. I have monster admiration for this guy that's up beside you in the studio there. Worked alongside him for the last 12 years, Nathan. That'd be about right.
That's it, yep.
And it's gone in a heartbeat. Am I obliged to say that? But I have valued his wisdom and his guidance and his friendship, maybe more importantly above all of those things, over the last 12 years. So I want to get that out of the way. He's been an unbelievable colleague. Today FM are getting a good one, it must be said. And like, he's not going a million miles away, but I think a lot of people won't be aware of the role that Nathan has behind the scenes, and the stuff that he's done for Off the Ball, the, you know, key central to bringing in the League of Ireland rights, obviously, over the last few years, like the work he's done around the golf, his Premier League contributions. He leaves some legacy behind him, so like, no pressure to whoever's coming in after him. But yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge that stuff that a lot of people wouldn't be aware of.
I mean, I feel like I should allow you to come in on the back of all of these glowing references, Nathan.
You know I'm leaving, right? Yeah. You know I'm leaving. Thank you very much. I've been incredibly fortunate to work with very brilliant and inspiring people over the last 10 years, where you sort of have to step up constantly, and that's on the behind the camera side of things with Jer and Adrian, and I see Emma sitting outside, and all the brilliant work that the production team do, but also on air, obviously initially, you know, with Joe, and now with yourself and the great things that you're doing. So you kind of do have to step up, and it's sort of easy to step up when you have these brilliant people to look at all of the time. So it's going to be, it's a strange feeling when you're leaving a job that you've loved so much for so long, but you're still going to walk through the same front door on Monday into the same building and see all the same people. So I wouldn't want to go out with an now to the liar speech, or else it's going to be a little bit awkward at the coffee machine on Monday.
Yeah, the mysterious coffee machine up there in the fourth. Adrian, do you want to bring the tone down?
Yes, absolutely. Please give me the floor to do that. Just kind of two things I'd mention. Like, I think they both speak to the character of Nathan Murphy. One of them would have been our time together. It was a beautiful... How long were we there in Versailles, Nathan? Was it...
I think we had about
3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
3 weeks. Like, you know, city of romance and bromance, as we discovered over those weeks. It was quite the adventure. And we were cooped up, and it was a tiny apartment, right? Like, did we have two bedrooms?
I think we had one bedroom and a sitting room where I slept, which was also the studio.
This was for Euro 2016, just to give it that kind. It was just a random trip to Versailles.
Just a random weekend away.
So
I'm up for that, Adrian.
Yeah.
Anytime. And there was wine was drunk and conversations were had, and like, I think everybody partied. We had great fun. But there was a bit of a legacy of that as well that I'd be interested, even at this remove so many years later, to get Nathan's view on, where Ireland had exited. Irish football was in a good place, it turns out, at the time, although we didn't know it. Everybody had gone home apart from Nathan, who was staying on because, you know, Off the Ball needed the coverage of the remainder of the tournament quite badly. And as it so happened, missing the family arrived out to spend a week with him, and just why would you not? You know, make use of facilities when they're there. And anyway, we'd gone, and it was like, you know, about 2 weeks later, and we started to inquire about where the deposit from the apartment might be. This 1,000 euro that we'd handed over. And I don't know, the conversations were just things kept cropping up every time this came up in a meeting. Could somebody chase up on that deposit? And Nathan just suddenly had somewhere else to be. And eventually we managed to track down the reason for all this. Nathan, you know, over the course of that week that he remained on, had somehow managed to do enough damage to the cooker that the landlord had decided that he was hanging on to the grand. And we have not seen that grand since. Nobody else in the company is aware of this, apart from myself and Nathan up to today. So that might be a deduction for your new employers.
I really hope you never run for president, Nathan.
Adrian Barry waiting in the long grass. Listen, Airbnb, I'm not going to make accusations, but I did nothing to the cooker at any stage. It's all lies. And I still like that 1,000 euro back.
He's going off to look at the data and see what he can.
Yeah, that's an issue with the accountants who are coming up a bit too often tonight.
Yes.
And the other thing just to mention is just like a totally un-radio related, but it was around a golf. Where were we playing that day, Nathan? Out around your club, out around the M50 there. What's it called?
Oh no!
Newlands. We were so excited. It was like, I can't remember. Was it like? I think we were skiving off maybe on like a Thursday afternoon or whatever, and we were out for around the golf. And like, I really valued those sessions because it was a great opportunity really to like let off a bit of steam about stuff that might be going on at work. And obviously you wander in to have a bit of crack after that. And was it the third we were on?
No, we were on the eighth hole in Newlands. I had literally just joined this golf club, I'd say 2 weeks earlier.
Oh yeah. Had you played one? You played one round.
One round. Yeah. It's my second round.
And geez, I thought it was much earlier on.
Beautiful sunny day.
Beautiful sunny day, and we were out enjoying ourselves. And Nathan, as he can be in the golf course, was a little bit wayward and skied this one outright on the eighth, was it you said, and into the rough. And like, it's a deep, dark area. There's a lot of trees, fair bit of debris around the ground. But more important than all of that, a 7 foot stone wall, not a concrete stone wall.
Sort of a hut for the toilet.
Like the ones you get in Connemara, like rocks, that type of thing, kind of pieced together. Like not an insignificant obstacle, but like really shouldn't be sort of in your eye line. Nathan thought the best route, you know, take the Scheffler line and let's get over the top of this thing, get ourselves nice and pretty. And it was also right in front of the sort of clubhouse area, and he lines it up. Now, I'm not going to lie, right? This doesn't reflect well on me, but at that moment I thought, I need to get my hand into my pocket, get the phone out, because you just wouldn't know what would happen here. Now, I would say we'd be sitting on like 3 or 4 million views if I could have got my phone out in time, but unfortunately I didn't. Nathan lashed the ball with his own golf club into the wall, and the ball came remarkably back and hit him square in the forehead. I have honestly never seen anything like it. The man was splayed on the ground, and again, it's with apologies I arrive. I honestly couldn't stop laughing. It was just like one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Now, we were in that sort of bit of, should we call the ambulance? What sort of territory are we in here?
Oh no, I absolutely thought I was going to die. I had a lump the size of a golf ball on my head for a good 24 hours afterwards.
You managed to pull through,
just about.
He went to, he had a coke in the bar, and then I said, "Listen, you might be concussed, so the safest thing we could do is I'll follow you home in the car." Which, in hindsight, I'm not sure was all that safe, but that was one of the better days.
I'll show you a photo.
Well, wow, I can tell you that is a sizable, that is two golf balls. That's worth of a lump balls on the right temple.
I'd never told anyone that in Newlands for shame.
For obvious reasons. And
for
also,
absolute shame, so I'm glad you brought that out.
As now former host of Golf Weekly, I think it's a safe space. Adrian Barry, thank you very much for dialing in from a dark looking Kilmacud. Appreciate
farewell.
That.
Farewell,
good work
friends.
With the underdogs there, Adrian.
I get out of it.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
6 holes in and we still haven't had a hole in one on the putt-off. Not from decade-long European Tour pro Gary Murphy. Not from European Tour winner Peter Lawrie. and not from three-time major champion Padraig Harrington.
Three in a row.
Oh, sorry, no, mate, I've forgotten about you.
Forget about me.
Bloody hell.
Well, I took that personally.
Here we go.
Yeah! Oh, yes.
Did you see
a hole in one in front of Padraig Harrington? Possibly the greatest moment of my life.
There's no point even asking you, Nathan, what was your highlight?
Well, yes, that was a very special moment.
And that's a reason.
The level of abuse I'd been getting off the three lads was understandable, mm-hmm. Considering how terrible I am at golf, as we've just heard.
Established.
That's why I decided to go for a putting competition rather than anything else.
Do you not take that as a compliment that they were trying to slay you in such an aggressive manner instead of,
no.
Oh, well done, Nathan. Look, you're doing okay.
Well, what had happened there is it was more of a visual event. Was Harrington was just walking on to the next hole, forgetting that I even still needed to go. He had just totally given up on me. It was like, this guy is beyond useless. So, screw you.
Let us bring in our next guest, your former commentator, fellow commentator in crime. Can we call him that? Dave McIntyre, very good evening to you.
Wow.
Good evening, lads.
Look at that. He's got the mic and everything.
Look at that.
Well, I had to show up in every sense for the greatest farewell party in the history of Irish National Radio.
Yeah. Dave's like, do you remember when I left, guys? See, we never knew when David left. David always just keep popping up.
Yeah. That is true. That is true.
Who decided who got the good games on a Sunday between yourself and Nathan, Dave?
Well, I remember just trying to engineer a situation where it's like when you're dealing with a child at home. Make sure that they believe it's their decision.
Yeah.
And I think it was done in a fairly equitable manner, because I do remember being at the Britannia Stadium or whatever it was called back then, the Bet365, watching Stoke and Aston Villa draw nil all in a 1:30 kickoff when Nathan was at the Etihad Stadium for the Manchester Derby on one or two occasions. Mm-hmm. But generally, I think it flip-flopped to each. We each got the bigger games every so often. It wasn't too bad. Why? Has he been talking about me behind my back? Is there some resentment still festering there?
Myself and Dave, as you know, are very neutral observers. We just love our football.
Yes.
But it just worked out that we were maybe very happy at times to go to different grounds.
Yes.
We had a preference for certain grounds at certain times. I was very fortunate. I always remember there was one game I really wanted to cover, which was Liverpool against Chelsea. I was only in the job a few weeks. And obviously, I was just in, so it was the big game at the end. This is 2014, Liverpool are going for the title, and it would have been Dave's game. You know, you couldn't really come in a few weeks, and Dave would have been doing the match, and then Munster qualified for like the Champions Cup semi-final or something, and we had that the same weekend, and there was no way Dave was going to be able to go to Anfield. And that was the day Steven Gerrard slipped.
Oh, no way.
I was like, yes. And then I was like, no.
Yeah, you regretted going then.
Absolutely.
Dave, you've got two options here. You can give us a little bit of wholesomeness. You can absolutely kind of bury Nathan here. Whatever you want. The floor is yours, Dave McIntyre.
Well, I've never really excelled in the area of wholesomeness. You can speak to anybody I know.
Well, I was worried we were going to have a dadcast reunion for a moment, and God help us all.
There was never a farewell party when we left the dadcast either, nor was there when I left off the ball. But look, that's by the by. There were two reasons mainly I loved working with Nathan. A, he proved himself to be equally as shocking a golfer as I was. And so I always felt I was in good company. I might have just been slightly more shit, but we were definitely in the same ballpark and generally the playing partners we were with. I remember we were playing at an Irish Open, ladies Irish Open Pro-Am on the Wednesday or the Thursday before the tournament. We were playing with a French golfer. And honestly, by the fourth or fifth hole, she was just so disgusted that she had been put into the same group as us. She couldn't wait. And I doubt the pros like the pro-am at all anyway, the best of times. But the standard was so bad. The standard was actually so low that we'd almost dragged her down to our level by the back nine. That's what a just shocking day it was for her. But as long as Nathan was down in the mud with me, it didn't really matter. And the other thing I liked about him when we were working together was that he has an equally childish sense of humor as I have, and unfortunately for our listeners and for our work colleagues, that tended to come out in the crappy quiz more than in any other part of the broadcast week. There was some really forgettable moments. In fact, I think you sent a clip around, or was it Jer sent a clip around a little while back, Nathan, about, I'm not even going to say what we said, but what it was had us giggling like 10-year-olds, much to Jer's absolute disgust, who was the host of the show that day. So that would made Nathan, we were very much buddies in that regard. Shocking on the golf course, and then like children when we were in the in the studio together. I do remember a crappy quiz from Electric Picnic many years ago. I think we were in the Bacardi tent for about 6 hours before we went on air. And how, and you've done well, Nathan, to last in the job until this week, because if the HR function in Off the Ball Towers was functioning properly at the time, you would have lost your job that day.
He's still staying in the company.
And also, my memory of that, Dave, is Dave had one or two too many Bacardis, and poor old Brian O'Driscoll, who had come down alongside us for that crappy quiz, was getting both barrels.
Right, and he's never done an EP since, I believe.
Never seen, or has Dave.
Nor has Dave.
Yeah, funnily enough, I've never been asked back.
Listen, Dave, thank you very much for popping on the show this evening. Good to have you back.
No problem. Glad to contribute. Best of luck with the new venture, Nathan.
Thank you very much, Dave. When I was joining Off the Ball, I went and I met Dave for coffee a few times, because Dave was obviously and is Ireland's leading commentator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you want to make the move? Do you not want to make the move? News Talk was a very different station back then. And Dave was like, your job is literally going to be going to Premier League matches.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not do that?
Yeah.
I think actually that sort of sums it up. That does sort of sum it up.
That not occurred to you, no.
But you look at the, you know, there's a lot of different bits and pieces around this job, and there's a lot of very unsociable hours. And actually, when it boils down to it, like, everybody else is going to be wanting to go to the thing that you're going to.
Yeah.
And I probably never lost sight of that, thanks to Dave, who still has that sort of childish enthusiasm for, you know, covering massive, massive events.
We are entering our mature era and Off the Ball, I think it's fair to say, after what Dave said there. Cameron, we've got completely waylaid from your news round. What is our next story?
Well, Bohemians COO Daniel Lambert says the club remain on course to have their final season at Dalymount Park next year before the ground undergoes redevelopment. So the Premier Division outfit will be without a home for 2 years as the venue is transformed into an 8,000-seater stadium. Lambert joined Off the Ball Breakfast this morning and gave credit to state funding for allowing them and other League of Ireland clubs to pursue their projects.
We're all very hopeful that next season will be our last season at Dalymount. Our AGM is coming up in a couple of weeks, and there'll be kind of full discussion with the membership, and it'll probably be public after that in terms of the plans. But I think it's in a really good place and can't come soon enough for us. We said that, but likewise with Sligo, like the LSSAF grant at the end of last year, Dalymount was the biggest grant in it. It's just under 25 million. Sligo got a really good size grant. I can't remember the exact figure for themselves. Like, we should recognise the support of the state here, both in the announcement yesterday, but, you know, Dalymount support. We applied for a sports capital grant for the Oscar Traynor Centre. It was close to €500,000, and many other League of Ireland clubs received similar. So there is support coming from different directions and they weren't there in the past, and they need to be there. Facilities are essential. And look, I've said it before, I do think in the new Dalymount we'll sell out the 8,500 week in, week out as well, and that will be really beneficial to our fan home model.
Yeah, you can listen back to that full piece with Jerome Cullum that Daniel Lambert did earlier on. With regards to international football then, Cameron, there's going to be a nervous wait for Pico Lopez.
Yeah, he has to wait until Monday before his country, Cape Verde, find out if they're going to make an appearance at a first ever World Cup. They missed the chance to book their place at the 2026 finals today after a 3-3 draw with Libya, which included Lopez turning the ball into his own nets after just 46 seconds in Tripoli. Now, a win over Eswatini on Monday will see the Blue Sharks qualify automatically as group winners. They would become the second smallest nation to appear at the tournament.
You were looking at a bit of this earlier on, Nathan. There was an outrageous offside call.
Yeah, it was a mad game with Pico, you know, scoring an early on goal. They come from 3-1 down. And then right at the end of the game, the most ridiculous offside call. He's about 4 yards onside. Now, he's still a long way to go to goal. But if they score that, they qualify. Now, they're playing the worst team in the group, a game that they should win. So they should still be fine, because we had that great stat, which was that Pico Lopez would be the only Irish man born after Italia 90 to play at a World Cup.
Wow. Yeah, that is absolutely mental. We're going to have a Mayo voice on the show a little later on in Kevin Kilbane, but it's time to bring in the Mayo voice, David Brady. Good evening.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, this is as good as it gets.
Thanks.
My voice is gone because I'm speechless. Marf, I actually didn't hear the news until Owen messaged me this evening.
Do you not read the Mayo News?
You know what? There's a times are tough now. I can't even afford a newspaper. But yes, Marf, you know what? And we were always proud of you.
But,
well done. Is it chief of the whole Bauer Group? Is our
Let's go. That's what the Mayo News was going with, yeah. I think, initially.
You know what? I'm going, there's only one place you were going, and that was to the top, in all fairness. Delighted for you.
Thanks very much, DB. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Jesus, fair play. Great. Good things happen to good people. Really, really, really mean it.
Did he fly the flag on behalf of Mayo in an honourable fashion over the last 12 years, David?
Is it 12 years?
12 years.
I thought it was 15. Yeah, Jesus. 12, look at Murph, the greatest compliment I can give to you. I used to meet people out, or people after games, and they'd ask, come here and I ask you. I'm going, yeah? What's Murphy like? Like, is Nathan as sound as he comes across? And these are Mayo people that would be very proud, but a bit from a national context.
What do you say?
You know what? I always says, you know what? He's one of our own, and he's as a vocabulary in Mayo, he sounds a pound. And if you can say that about someone, you won't go too far wrong. For me, and you know what? I'm looking back on my WhatsApps here, Murph, to 2015.
Asking him for tickets, I'd say, for a match.
My tickets, but tell me and I'll say nothing. So he wanted the inside of the inside, the things that I couldn't tell publicly, but I go, okay, Murph, I'll tell you this. I'll give you a little insight.
There was a couple of years of madness around Mayo football. My greatest ever appearance on air was not even on air. It was sitting in the production box producing the Saturday panel when David Brady gave the great line of Jim McGuinness being down training the Mayo footballers, and then the text comes in saying, never happened.
Stephen Rochford has never met Jim McGuinness in his life.
Yeah, I've never met Jim McGuinness. I went, can I just tell you something now? I remember it, and I went, oh, right. I didn't come out with it at the start. It wouldn't be like me to come out with something that would be left-wing, but I got the text in the Saturday panel, and I'm going, actually, Stephen Rochford has never met Jim McGuinness. I got the text on the way to Dublin for the night before the All Ireland final, the team bus.
Wow.
Do you know what my highlight is, Murph? And it stands out. 2017 in the Olympia. Absolutely one of the. I'll never forget it. It was just, I think.
The night after you lost the car.
That's right. Yeah. That was a busy weekend. I lost the car on the Friday night, and we're in the Olympia, and I got absolutely hung, drawn, and quartered. But we had the legendary Sean Boylan and Charlie Redmond and Liam Mack. I think James Horne. It was a special, special night. And I think it encapsulated everything that is and has and still is good about off the ball and the people that have brought it to where it is. It's 7 years ago and it's 12 years of your career, Murph, but we had good times, but it's easy do it, and it's easy converse in a studio or on a line with people like yourself.
For sure.
Thanks very much, DB. Mayo, stay in touch.
Mayo for Sam next year?
Yeah.
Don't ever forget where you come from now, Murph, that you're the CEO. And that
I'm
you're
not the CEO either.
Well, you're as big as you can get.
You're as big as you want to be in DB's world. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you have a few years. You have a few years, but everyone is proud of you in Ballyhonus. Everyone is proud of you in Mayo, and you've been a credit.
Maybe I was the curse for the last 12 years.
Well, look at, yeah. But enjoy it, and it's been an absolute pleasure. And we will definitely see you around. We'll see you in. We'll see you in Croke Park in the end of July with the help of God.
You're a good man.
David Talk Brady, you, thank you.
Look after yourself. See
appreciate
you, Mark.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks.
It will be quite the timing if they were to go ahead and win Sam in the next couple of years.
I think that my departure is irrelevance to that, but Andy Moran is, we've obviously got a great connection with Andy, and what a brilliant part of Off the Ball and the football pod Andy was as well. So we full belief. Those were a great couple of years, I have to say. Obviously, when Mayo were right there, centre of everything. We had you down outside McHale Park late on. Was that a Monday night?
Tuck
shop closed.
Yeah.
That great moment where in the Mayo County Board, the message was, could people stop leaking everything that's happening in these meetings to Off the Ball? And then while the meeting was still on, we were able to repeat that message live on air. It turns out those were the good days for the Mayo County Board.
Yeah, yeah, wistful days. We've got time for a couple of more stories, Cameron. I think there's another football story or two before we move on to the rugby.
The first billionaire footballer, that's Cristiano Ronaldo, as referenced in the Bloomberg Billionaires Index today, Owen. When he joined Saudi side Al Nassr in 2022, Ronaldo was reportedly earning close to €4 million a week. So billionaire status confirmed today for CR7.
On to the rugby then.
Munster Rugby CEO Ian Flanagan doesn't think that the maths will add up for potential investors in R360. Leading unions, including the IRFU, have warned that R360 could be enormously harmful to the game and that players face international bans if they sign up to the breakaway league. Now, Flanagan also says they're open to playing a URC game in the US in the coming years. The Sharks are owned by US-based consortium MVM Holdings, and the South African franchise have been holding talks with the URC about hosting a match in America. Now, Flanagan says Munster would be reluctant to move one of their home fixtures, but they'd consider playing an away game in the States.
Every sport, every tournament is looking at playing games in new territories to grow their fan base. We would be foolish if we weren't doing the same, but again, we've had initial conversations about playing an away fixture. So we're not talking about moving a game from Cork or from Limerick. We're talking about moving one of our away fixtures. So we've had discussions with the Sharks in Durban for two seasons now about the game in Durban being moved to a game in the States instead.
Monday Night Rugby, Wednesday Night Rugby even, with Gerry Thornley coming up after 8 o'clock. On to the Dublin Marathon. We've got news on this front, Cameron.
Yeah, organisers have confirmed that all general entries for the event will be awarded via a ballot system from 2026 onwards. That change means that the priority entry window for past participants will be scrapped. Organisers believe the new entry procedure will create a fairer balance between past participants and first-time runners. They also estimate that around 70% of places in recent editions have gone to returning runners, leaving limited opportunity for debutants.
Harry's been in touch to ask Nathan moving upstairs, is it? Yes, that's true. He's moving on to Today FM. Hilton says, good luck in your next venture, Nathan. Nathan, the show will be poorer without you. And John in Waterford says, first Giles, now Nathan. You'll be missed. Some of the best football chat around. And really shone a light on the League of Ireland.
Thank you very much.
So, yeah, you were instrumental in bringing Friday nights to the masses.
Getting out just before the season ends.
Yeah, exactly. Right before Rovers clinch a title on Friday night, a game we're going to have live, by the way. We should finish up the news round on a golf story. I mean,
Of course, yes.
Yeah, what have you got for us, Cameron?
Yeah, there was no darts today, so golf will have to do
darts. There's darts this evening.
Yeah, I knew it.
Come on.
World Grand Prix. Yeah, we're going out to watch that next. But in lieu of that,
go with the golf.
Colin Morikawa, he says he's not taking the blame for the behaviour of American fans at last month's Ryder Cup, but admits that their behaviour crossed the line. In the build-up to the event at Bethpage Black last month, Morikawa said he hoped the opening day would be absolute chaos. And a two-time major winner claims today that his comments were taken a little out of context. Of course, Team Europe beat the US by 15 points to 13 to retain that Ryder Cup.
One last searing hot golf take, Nathan.
Done with golf.
You're done with golf.
It smacked me in the face too many times.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. It almost took your eye out.
Colin Morikawa. Like, you can't blame Colin Morikawa for some of the outrageous comments that were made to Rory McIlroy, but he did say chaos. It wasn't a let's get behind Team USA in the best way that we possibly can, make as much noise for us. It was, like, by chaos, the meaning was make life uncomfortable for them. And everything we've heard about Bethpage is that the atmosphere was less of a USA, USA, more of a how can we do the Europeans down? And I don't think comments like that helped us.
Is he part of the worst American pairing of all time twice?
Yeah. Well, statistically, they were the worst pairing and then they somehow ended up getting put out twice. And he's had a very bad season, Colin Morikawa, as well. Not much has happened for him, so... You can understand he might be a bit frustrated if it's, well, all of these obnoxious Americans who were making these comments that you're solely responsible for it is probably a little bit unfair.
Most importantly, Cameron Menzies has taken the first two legs against Rob Cross at the World Grand Prix.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.